Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay on a Super Saturday. That's the Saturday between the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8. So this is Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and right now the UCLA Bruins fans must be feeling really elite with the ultimate breaking news, they hire Steve Alford. We'll talk about it. Join us. Give us a call, man. We're breaking it all down. 718-664-9098. You want to get at us on Twitter. It's Ray and Tay Today. The email, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, and our website. Very interactive. Check it out. Lots of fun. Photos of Ray and Tay at events, polls, top fives. Ray and Tay Today. RAEANDTAY Today. .com, rayandtaytoday.com. So, Ray, let them know, man. We got a little mixed bag, man. How are we chopping up the show, man?
We've got a lot to get into. But like we always do, we'll bring you the breaking news first. And like Tay said, we got Steve Alford of Indiana fame and now headed to from New Mexico, where he underachieved this year in the tournament, heading to UCLA. So all you fans out there, Pauley Pavilion should be pretty happy. Seems like a great hire. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the breaking news. We'll get into this first game in Major League Baseball. We'll talk about some NFL signings. We've got some prominent, defensive ends and quarterbacks and everything. So we got a lot to get into. We'll talk NBA. We'll go around the NBA real quick as we get towards playoffs in mid-April. And then, we're going to talk about the tournament. We'll talk about these games, these Sweet 16 games. So we're down to 8. That's why we're bringing you this show on Saturday. We're down to 8 teams. We're going to review the games that happened on Thursday and Friday. We'll preview. We'll give you our picks for Saturday and Sunday. And then we'll bring you our segment, I'm Sorry, where Ray and Tay apologize. So we got a couple apologies out there for teams. And, we'll bring them to you. We don't mind. When we're wrong, we apologize. We're grown up, adults like that. We can be wrong. Look, we say a lot. We predict a lot. Sometimes we're wrong, and that's okay.
Yeah. So that's what it's all about, right? It's in fun, but at the same time, like, a lot of times, TV, radio guys, whatever, they don't want to say that they're wrong. Ray and Tay, we're man enough to do it. So let's jump into it. He signed a 10-year deal with New Mexico, and now he's gone. Now, Steve Alford was a champion guard at Indiana in 87 with him and Keith Smart. And, I think it's sort of, maybe third time, three is the magic number, De La Soul, right? Because they went after Shaka Smart and Brad Stevens, UCLA, and then I think they probably got the right guy in Steve Alford. They like his system, the way he, likes to run, go up and down, and he's a good coach, a former player. I actually think UCLA fans should be extremely happy.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. Look, it turns out that Ben Howland wasn't the right answer for them for some reason. I mean, the guy goes to 3 straight Final Fours, but that's not good enough. And he just didn't fit into that Westwood way of doing things. So UCLA fans should be really happy. It looks like Steve Alford is the right guy. He'll be there for a good decade. So if all goes well, Steve Alford and UCLA look to be a nice fit. So listen, it looks like we have a caller. Let's pull the caller in. Maybe we'll talk some college. We'll talk some college hoops. Hello, caller. You're on the air. This is Ray and Tay today.
Yeah, and I'm calling because I think old Tay needs to give me an apology.
Uh-oh.
What's
that
up,
about?
Nick?
Excuse me?
I said, what's up, Nick?
Knew who it was, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, man. How you liking these games? What's on your mind? Talk to us.
Well, watch that old Michigan State game last night. Did you guys all see that, Duke, Michigan State?
Whew. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that we predicted differently. So I predicted Duke and Tay predicted Michigan State.
I thought
senior guard against a freshman guard. It's a big difference. Curry really put it on Harris, and I think that was the difference. His 29 points, you know, made a big difference. Nobody else really stepped up crazily. Suleiman played good as well. I shouldn't say that. And then Plumlee. Kelly, who didn't even start, 9 points off the bench was kind of surprising. But, hey, give due credit, man. They played the best defense they played all year.
Yeah. I got to say that, you know, I think, of course, Michigan State, they threw that ball away just way too much, too. I mean, they were on breaks and, you know, throwing it out of bounds. And, you know, the defense didn't really have a whole lot to do with it, I don't think. They were just terrible. Terrible at throwing the ball away, and it was just unbelievable.
No, you're right.
How about that Michigan game, though, guys? That Michigan game was something else.
I think the Michigan game was probably – I mean, there's been some great games in this tournament. Obviously, we all have enjoyed Florida Gulf Coast's, you know, we bid them adieu as they lose to the Gators. But that Michigan game in terms of two heavyweights going back and forth, and Kansas had the game under control the whole time, really. And Michigan just said, no, no, no. Burke, nothing in the first half, 23 in overtime in second half. That was incredible. That was definitely
incredible.
He took
it over, didn't he?
Shot. He did.
He definitely took it over.
I was telling Ray the shot was like beyond NBA. It was like a 30-footer.
Well, you know what's funny is that they voted already for Player of the Year. So it's probably between Burke and Oladipo. Doug McDermott might get a couple of votes. But if the vote were taken today, then Trey Burke just won National Player of the Year. I mean, this guy really took that game under his wings and really made some unbelievable shots for a point guard, for a leader, and he doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, this guy is an elite, elite college guard. He's a pleasure to watch. You know, we talked about Aaron Kraft at Ohio State and then him at Michigan State, and they're totally – at Michigan, sorry. And they're totally different guards, and they dominate the game in completely different ways, but it's just so great to watch them. You've got to love guards in college. They're so fun to watch. And he's going to have a real interesting matchup tomorrow against Florida because they've got three guards. And so it'll be interesting to see how he and Hardaway Jr. and Robinson III match up against those three guards at Florida. That's can't wait for that on Sunday.
Well, that's what I really kind of enjoyed. You know, you got those high-profile guys on there, Hardaway Jr. and Glenn Robinson Jr. And Burke just outshined all of them.
Robinson III. So, yeah, Nick, real quick, man. Tell us, do you got any predictions or what? For the Elite Eight, you got any predictions?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, that game, that Florida game is going to be a big one for them.
Okay. You're taking Florida or you're taking
Michigan? Going to the Final Four?
I don't know if Michigan makes that. You know, if they played like they did last night, I think Michigan can go to the Final Four. There's no doubt about it.
And what are you thinking in Marquette, Syracuse?
I think Syracuse is very tough to beat.
That zone. But remember, Marquette played them and beat them, even though it was in Wisconsin. They beat them this season, and they know that zone. So it's not like Indiana, who's never seen it.
I mean, well, you got to remember something else, too. Once you get your ass whooped one time, you don't have that happen again a lot of times.
Well, that's true. And then what about Ohio State?
Hey, Eric, that's kind of just like, you know, when we played fantasy, you know? I mean, I took it into
Well, listen, just remember, we'll probably be, you know, I'm going to be doing some commissionership of the Ray and Tay League, and we will invite you to join, and it's going to be the Monsters of the Midway. So get ready. Start scouting now. Just so you know, Grimes left the Falcons and signed with the Dolphins, so pick up that Dolphins defense.
Hey, Nick, real quick question to you guys. What did you guys think of that Reggie Bush move?
Strong for your Lions. Very strong.
Yeah.
I love it.
I personally wanted to see an every down back like a Steven Jackson. But the more I think about it, that combination of LeSure and Reggie Bush is pretty nice. And that offense is about as complete now as it can be. So you feel like Stafford, if he's healthy, he's got all the weapons that he needs. And if LeSure can stay healthy, then that combo, so he's got the passing, obviously, with Megatron, and you got to find a replacement for Titus Young. I really like that kid, and unfortunately, I don't know what his head, you know, what's going on in his head. But offensively, you guys are all set. So it's a matter of consistency and a matter of, you know, that defense playing up to its potential, especially in the front four and the front seven. So if I'm a Lions fan, I'm excited.
So what do you do then? Do you, in the draft, I mean, they need
offensive
an offensive
lineman.
Tackle. Offensive
yep.
lineman, or do you
yeah,
go
Backus,
to, I mean.
Well, remember, Backus just retired. So to
yes,
me,
sure did.
Even he was one of your best guys, and even last year your line wasn't amazing. So I think the first two rounds you go get yourself the best tackle or guard available, and then vice versa. You know, and
well,
I
have,
would
they
also,
have.
You got to replace Cliff Averill, too.
Well, they have Riley Reiff. They have Riley Reiff that they drafted last year.
Yes, they
and
do.
They're gonna plug
okay,
in, they're going to plug him in somewhere.
No, no, you're right. They'll probably put him in at right or left tackle. It depends. So maybe, hey, maybe you reach. If Fisher's not there, maybe you take Womack from Alabama. He's a monster.
Well, the good thing is that this draft is littered with offensive linemen and some
yeah.
defensive linemen, but you guys could, you know, everybody could always use depth at that position, especially losing Averill. But you know, secondary, you can pick up some help in the secondary. You can definitely pick up a lineman. So this is a decent draft. You know, everybody's lamenting the fact that there's really no skill players like quarterbacks. That's not like last year's draft. Last year's draft was unbelievable. But last year's, but you don't need that, right? You just got to keep Stafford healthy. You just got to keep fighting, you know, feeding him the vitamin C or whatever, and build from the bigs on offense and maybe some secondary help on defense. But look, as a Packer fan, especially there's some turmoil in Chicago. Green Bay is probably going to bounce back. You know, Minnesota probably. You know, I don't know if they achieve 10-6 again next year. So I like even where you sit in the division. So I like the Lions' outlook for next year.
Well, I'm thinking offensive tackle, because here's the thing is if you guys, because it's so hard to find a good offensive tackle that you can plug right in today in this league. You know, I mean, there's not too many of them, and there's three of them in this draft that the Lions could reach at. I think, you know, you got the kid from Central Michigan, you got the one from A&M, and then you also have the one
yeah, Lane
from
Fisher.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be interesting, man. All right, Nick. Well, thanks for calling, man.
All right.
Definitely,
hey, you guys have a great day.
All right, man. Keep listening and watch these games. It's going to be fun.
Hey, take care of those babies, man. They're coming.
Yeah, you too.
Take care. Appreciate you calling.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Definitely. Great caller. Good listener. I guess, you know, for us, right now, let's really jump into March 31st. Tomorrow, Houston Astros get welcomed to the American League West as they leave the National League Central, and they play against the Texas Rangers. Could be not a warm welcome. I could definitely say that. Not only do I have to go with the Rangers, and you know we'll hold our picks for you know our baseball preview show on April 3rd, but I think the Rangers are going to definitely have a good season, but I don't think the Astros are going to do much of anything.
No, I think they're in major rebuild mode. I mean, I think their first goal is to not lose 100 games. So, you know, maybe they could lose 90 games and go 72-90. But, yeah, the Rangers, the question for them is how do you bounce back without Josh Hamilton? Because they didn't make a big, big move to replace Hamilton. So you're literally plucking Hamilton out of the middle of your lineup. I still think they're good enough to make the playoffs, especially if Colby Lewis comes back and Agando, you know, they settle that rotation, and they've got some depth in the rotation. Now, they're in a hitter's park in Arlington, but I think Elvis Andrus will come into his own as kind of an elite shortstop. So I like the Texas Rangers. You know, if you're a Houston fan, you're on a three-year rebuild, so you're a few years away from even being competitive. So, yeah.
Well, they better draft right, I'll tell you that much. You know, I mean, I think that's the one thing that can help you, that you can, you know, possibly you're having the number one pick for a couple years, and we've seen it with other franchises, you should be getting yourself one heck of a farm system and some awesome pitchers and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. Yeah,
well, let's go through baseball.
I think,
there have been Go ahead.
No, no, I just think that, you know, we're talking about the Rangers. I think the A's might actually, you know, rebound back and get back in the playoffs and beat out the Rangers. But, and I like the Angels for that division. But I don't know. I think Hamilton was the heart of that team. Now, Cruz is solid, and he's sort of now you're got to be your clutch hitter. But, you know, he's going to see different pitches now. And I just, you know, we'll just see how it breaks down. But it's going
to
be kind of dangerous.
Scott Hamilton out of your lineup, you know, that's for sure. But let's go through in baseball. So we're going to talk about some signings in football, too. But let's talk about baseball.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're saying that Verlander is signing a deal worth $180 million. So you're giving a 30-year-old pitcher $25 million a year. Now, he definitely
With bonuses, $202 million. Right, 202 with bonuses and everything. That's crazy.
You talk about three's the magic number? 202, that's the magic number.
Oh, my goodness. But it's in every sport. Everybody's got these new deals. And then how about Buster Posey? He signed up until 2022, baby. And the team's got
Buster
the option
Posey.
For 2022. I think that's hysterical.
Have we not? And again, no disrespect to Posey, who now they're realizing can't play catcher all the time. They want to
move him
a little bit. You have to. I mean, I just don't think that if you put that much money into somebody like a Joe Mauer or a Buster Posey, that you can take on the wear and tear of the catcher position as good as they are. You can't. It's just not worth it. But have we not learned anything from Alex Rodriguez's 10-year deal? You know, again, more power to the players. I'd rather the players make the money, because if the money's just going to sit there, you know, and the players earn it, then they deserve it, every bit of it. But 10-year deals just, I mean, and then Posey signs a 9-year extension. Now, granted, he's, 25 years old? But still, 9 years is guaranteed in a sport, you know, like baseball. And he plays catcher, and he lost the season through the injury. I don't know. I just thought we'd come back to some kind of number like 4 or 5 years, you know, signing these 9-year, 10-year deals. I thought we were done with that with A-Rod. But
I totally agree with you. I honestly would do no more than 6 to 7 years for any player. And for pitchers, I'm talking 3 to 5 years. I mean, you just have to be so careful, because baseball, unlike the others, unlike the NFL, I should say, everything's guaranteed. So I just think it's sort of crazy, and, you know, hey, it is what it is. And they're saying that your boy from the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw, is going to be next. Yeah, so he'll probably be next.
Yeah, he's my pick for
the deal.
We'll go into our previews, but it's funny because you picked Verlander, I picked Clayton Kershaw. Those are our picks for Cy Young.
No, definitely, man.
But one more note, in baseball, poor this guy, Johan Santana. So it looks like his shoulder injury pretty serious, and he's going to miss the season. Now, everybody comes back to the fact that last year he pitched a no-hitter. I think it was in June. He threw 134 pitches and had a no-hitter in June. So everybody's worried about, you know, did that cause him to his shoulder, basically blow out his shoulder? Look, I don't know about that. I just know that it's sad to see a guy that 4 or 5 years ago was on top of his game, and now because of injuries, you know, to the shoulder. And if you're a pitcher, you know, that shoulder and that elbow, I mean, that's basically your money, you know, your money joints. So
it's
to see a guy's career, you know, sort of end like that. And maybe he'll make it back. Maybe he won't. But, yeah, what an unbelievable pitcher. Loved that changeup. Loved his fierce intensity, especially for little guys. I love little guys like Tim Lincecum and Johan Santana. I mean,
and Mariano.
And Mariano, right? Those slender dudes that can get that velocity up and can make it happen. I mean, it's one thing when you're CeCe Sabathia and you're 6'7", 280. You know, you're a physically imposing fella. But
you're a monster.
These other guys, Lincecum at 5'8", 5'9", and Johan Santana slightly built, and Mariano, you know, that slim build of his. I like to see when those guys dominate, you know, big, strong major league hitters. But, yeah, good luck to Johan. Hopefully he'll be back. He won't be back as a Met, for all you Mets fans out there. But hopefully he'll make his return, and we'll see him again next year. And good luck to him on rehabbing that shoulder.
Yeah, definitely. So let's move over to the NFL. I mean, we're talking about these contracts, and I'm sort of fascinated by just seeing, like, just not only the rumors, the scurries of signings, but your Cowboys. You can have Allen. You stole Will Allen from the Steelers. That I don't say stole. You signed him. Have him. He's horrible in the secondary. But you gave Tony Romo $55 million? Guaranteed?
At home, I got a call from Tony Rome.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he's getting more than Flacco. He's won nothing. It was unnecessary to give him so much money. You're going to have trouble trying to sign DeMarcus Ware next season, and maybe you'll have to franchise Anthony Spencer again or whatever you're going to do. I just think it's a mess. Jerry Jones is a mess. I'll let you talk about it.
Well,
I'm done.
Here's the thing, and I'm a Cowboys fan, so mm-hmm. I also way too much. But one thing the Cowboys did get, I mean, I think it's only $5 million that counts against the cap this year. So they got immediate win now, you know,
yes.
Cap.
So you can sign a couple, you can sign your draft picks and maybe one or two little veterans to help you, like Will Allen and one more.
But in the big picture, if we have any pro athletes out there, and, you know, we got some pro athletes liking the show and tweeting at us, and, you know, we're working on getting some pro athletes on the show. But if you got a pro athlete out there, go call Tony Romo's agent, because he just did something that really boggles the mind. Because I get that Jerry Jones wants to show him a vote of confidence, but this guy would have been a free agent after the 2013 season. So you're telling me that in March of 2013, you signed the guy to a six-year, $108 million deal. So first you're talking about a yearly salary in the almost in the $18 million range. Then you're talking about $55 million guaranteed. That's more than, like you said, Flacco, that's more, who I think is overpaid, but that's more than Flacco. That's more than Drew Brees.
And next comes up Ryan, and then our boy Rodgers. They said Rodgers might get $25 million.
Well, we didn't talk about that. Yeah, that's the rumor that he's going to sign for $25 million. Look, he's worth the most of anybody because he's young. He's got an MVP and a Super Bowl under his belt. So even though, you know, you could argue Brady and Manning are right up there in his class in terms of age and miles behind them versus miles ahead of them, Aaron Rodgers deserves to be the highest paid player.
Definitely. But somebody made a good point the other day. I'm listening to a sports radio show on Sirius XM, and they said, okay, fine, he should be the highest paid, but fine, you could probably achieve that right at 22 or 21 and a half, right? He beats out everybody with that. Why go all the way up to 25 to make the statement? Because what happens is you're going to have to re-sign Clay Matthews, and it makes it harder to bring – now, the Packers as an organization don't really sign free agents. You know, they just did, you know, Woodson and Reggie White. Those were the exceptions they normally build through the draft. But to re-sign your own guys, you know, you're going to have to take a B.J. Raji. I mean – why go, you know,
I don't
is it
get
22?
It. You're right.
Fine.
You're right.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's like I finally saw, you know, Tay was bugging me. He's like, you got to see this. You got to see this. I finally saw Mr. Russell's House. Great show on NBA TV and
mm-hmm.
Bill Simmons, you know, the big Boston Celtics man. So he was interviewing Bill Russell. And Bill Russell said, you know, the minute Wilt Chamberlain signed his contract for $100,000, which, you know, back in the days, in the 60s, was a huge amount, you know, 60s, early 70s, or I guess that was in the 60s, was a huge
yeah.
amount of money. And he said to Red, Red, you know what I want? And Red said, what? He said, I want $100,001. I want to be $1 paid more than Wilt. So similarly... you know, to give Rodgers $25 million in a salary capped environment, I don't
makes
get
no
it.
Sense.
Yeah, you got to say, okay, look, you'll be the highest paid player, but that 5 million difference, or 2-3 million difference between you know, the $25 million contract and the $21-22 million contract, that's a free agent. That's somebody else. That's another receiver. That's depth at running back. You know, at a certain point, this arms race, I get it. You want to keep your talent, but you also want to win, because Rodgers will be frustrated too. You taste that Super Bowl early in your career, and you get that taste. You want more. You want more.
And he did already lose, you know, Driver retires, but he lost Greg Jennings. And let me tell you something. People want to sleep. Greg Jennings is a great route runner and goes inside and outside. Let's see how good Jordy Nelson and Cobb are when they don't have Jennings. Now, I know they did good during the season in different games because Rodgers is so great, but let's see if you can't get another lineman or you don't get, you know, a great wide receiver. I don't know. I think the Packers are making a mistake, and they still need a running back.
Absolutely. But look, we got a lot of.
Let's talk about some more guys, though. Because Grimes signed with the Dolphins. The Dolphins have had an amazing off season. They've signed corners.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that was really smart. I like that move, Grimes. If he's healthy, and it looks like Grimes is going to be okay, that's a stud signing. And my Steelers are looking to sign Ahmad Bradshaw. As long as he clears with his foot, he will be a Pittsburgh Steeler, and I am so excited about that. It's going to be perfect. Bradshaw has not done at all. He hasn't had a ton of carries because he always split with the Giants. Bradshaw with Jonathan Dwyer will totally help the Steelers and our, you know, offense, and with Todd Haley as the coordinator and Big Ben. I love it.
And the Redskins brought back Fred Davis, which I thought was a good move. He seems to have a nice little rhythm there, you know, young tight end from USC, and obviously with RG3 coming back.
I got a little joke for you. Who wants to sign Kevin Cobb? The Buffalo Bills. And why is that so funny? Because they just got rid of Fitzpatrick, who's better than Kevin Cobb. Are you kidding me? You're going to go in the season with Cobb and Tavarius Jackson? So maybe in the first round they draft Geno Smith, or maybe they wait to the second round because they need a lot of help, and they draft the kid from Syracuse who, you know, his head coach, Maroney, is the head coach there who had him in Syracuse, and they develop him. But Cobb and Tavarius Jackson, you're going nowhere in the AFC. Nowhere.
Yeah, so let's transition to basketball real fast in the NBA. Let's go around the league fast. We'll obviously have more basketball talk in the coming weeks.
New York basketball.
Seven
in a row.
In the NBA.
Yo, dude, I'm bugging right now because J.R. Smith, he could get an apology letter from both of us, definitely more so from you, but I'm going to say it. J.R., three games in a row over 30, dropped 37 last night. He is balling, and the Knicks are kind of back. We're tied for second with the Pacers. The Knicks look great. They really do.
They do, and that's amazing with all the injuries. The one thing the Knicks have been over the last 2 years, and under Mike Woodson specifically, has been very resilient, next man up. I mean, even if you think about Linsanity last year, that really started when Carmelo went down. And this year, when Tyson Chandler's missed a few games, Carmelo's missed some games, and obviously the big men, Camby and Rasheed Wallace, haven't been able to stay healthy enough to contribute, you know, up to their potential. But just, you know, age is father time, is catching up to them. But the Knicks are next man up, so absolutely. And yes, I do owe J.R. Smith an apology. You know, he is what he is, but he is very, very reliable when it comes to stepping up when you're under fire. You know what I mean? These last three games, scoring 30 a game, maybe cementing six men of the year. Who knows? I mean, Jamal Crawford, you know, everybody just assumed it was his award. But you know what? These last few games, J.R. Smith is putting his hat firmly in the ring.
He's like, wait a minute, player. Don't sleep on me. I love it. Kudos to him.
Real quick out west, so Duncan hits that three-point play at the end of the game.
Oh,
and
incredible.
They beat the Clippers. And then the Wolves beat the Thunder. So now it looks like the San Antonio Spurs are going to lock down that number one seed in the West.
Well, their last 10 games, though, Ray, they play the Heat. They play Golden State. They play a bunch of tough teams. So they play Memphis. So let's see how it works. But you're right. Right now they've got an advantage. And you know what I love? Tony Parker kind of took it to Chris Paul. 24-8. Duncan dropped 34, the most he scored since I think like 09, they said, or something like that. That's crazy. So kudos to Duncan. And also LeBron. Did you see? I mean, they started a new streak beating New Orleans last night. The crowd started cheering for him. He hit 6 3-pointers in a row and dropped like 36 or 34 points. So, you know, the Heat keep on rocking. And then we collide tomorrow, Easter Sunday, Miami against San Antonio. For NBA fans, that could be an NBA Finals preview.
Yeah, absolutely. And how fun is it that these teams are peaking, you know, 2-3 weeks before the playoffs? You hope that they keep momentum. This should be a great playoff matchup. You know, obviously the West looks like it has more, you know, solid matchups, better teams and better matchups. But, you know, who knows? The East might surprise us. But, yeah, no, this NBA season looks like it's going to be great. This NBA playoffs looks like it's going to be very fun.
You see, Brooklyn's starting to play a little good again. You know, I mean, they're 6-4 in their last 10. You know, they lost the other night, but, you know, because they had to go to Denver, right? Not too many people win in Denver. But they've been, you know, playing, you know, a little bit better. They're solid in the fourth seed. And the seventh and eighth spots are kind of a mess with, you know, the Celtics and the Bucks. I mean, they're probably solid in those positions. I don't think the Bucks or the Celtics, though, could probably win in the first round. Neither the Hawks either, so.
No, I don't think so either. But you know what?
Top heavy the East.
It's that time. It's that time. What we like to call bracketism.
Yes, baby.
So.
I don't know where to begin. Let's begin with last night. Let's talk about Louisville, the last of the Mohicans. Right, they are the last number one standing, ladies and gentlemen. They're also my pick to win it all, but goodness gracious, they are repping for the Big East. I think Oregon, you know, the whole game stayed between basically 8 and 14 most of the game. I think Oregon played, I don't want to say their best, but as good as they could against Louisville. And great coach, you know, the young guards and, you know, their senior forwards. They played a good game, but when it comes down to it, Smith and, you know, even with Siva and foul trouble, Ware came in and played incredible. And I didn't know Ware was from New York, man. I forgot about that. You know, Patino just recruits his butt off from Louisville. He gets these guys from Jersey City and Brooklyn. And
oh,
I mean,
sure.
And it's recruits that are not like, you know, the hugest names. And, you know, you don't see them in the McDonald's All-American game. You just don't. And kudos to Patino for that. You know, he's about to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. But I just, you know, I really think, you know, and listen, Singler was trying to keep them in the game. But when it comes down to it, man, Ware and, you know, Waves the guy.
It's funny because they didn't even have a great game from Peyton Siva. But
yeah.
Russ Smith had 31, right? He hit 12 free throws. I mean, he was just taking it to Oregon. And we both predicted this game, and Louisville right now looks like they're the best team, and they look like the number one overall seed. It's funny because, you know, you went 3-for-4, and I went 4-for-4 yesterday in the predictions. The only problem is team I had winning it all is gone.
They're gone, baby.
But, yeah, they're gone.
And I still got three out of my final four. I have Ohio State, Florida, and Louisville still alive. So, I mean, you know, it's listen, it was great, and we give big ups to the Ville, to Louisville. So let's talk about
the team they'll play. Oh, okay. Let's talk about the team they'll play.
Yeah.
So Duke, Michigan State. Now, that bracket, you know, was 1, 2, 3, 12, right? So Oregon was a 12, but they, you know, they did great. You know, winning their two games, I think that's very respectable for an Oregon team. Now, you got a battle of two heavyweights when number 3 Michigan State plays number 2 Duke. And the coaches are heavyweights. The programs are heavyweights. That was a great game.
Totally. I mean, kudos to you. You saw it. You picked it. You went with Duke. You know, I went with Michigan State. I picked Duke maybe in one or two brackets or whatever, and all the multitude of brackets I did. But I really thought Michigan State was going to do this. You know, I just think their guards, Harris and Appling and I always forget the other guy, but they got outclassed. Suleiman, you know, he had about 16. Plumlee had 13. This guy, 29 for Seth Curry. Seth Curry just rose his draft stock. And it's so funny because, you know, just thinking about that, I didn't mention it with the NBA, you know, Anthony Bennett on Monday is going to decide from UNLV if he's coming out. And then a lot of people are saying for Victor Oladipo, it's time to come out. You're ready, and they want you. So we'll see what happens with those guys. But Seth Curry, the senior, his draft stock is moving up, man. So kudos to Duke, right?
And like you said, like we said offline, you know, the difference in a freshman and a senior, right? Gary Harris, who probably projects to be, you know, also a great, great NBA prospect, you know, maybe on the order of even like McLemore in Kansas, you know, top five, top ten pick maybe. This guy is special, Gary Harris. But, you know, he's 2 for 11, scores 6 points, and this kid, Seth Curry, stepped up in the biggest game of his, you know, of his career as a senior, you know, carrying the team, not just as a role player. The guy scores 29 against a very tough Michigan State team, you know. So some of it was
and his shots were all contested, too. That's what was incredible,
yeah,
man. He wasn't getting wide-open jumpers. He earned that 29.
He did. and Michigan State is not only a tough team, but they're defensive, they're athletic, they pressure the guards. So good for him, you know. Seth Curry really stepped up. And I think that if they can get, you know, you know that Plumlee's going to give you around, 15-8, maybe 15-10. If Curry can give you 20, and then you can get Ryan Kelly, who had 9.7 rebounds, but very solid, you know, solid production. If you can get a Rasheed Suleiman to, you know, give
four
you the 16
figures,
that he did, that's tough. That's tough to defend against. So, you know,
I don't think they have an answer for Louisville, but we'll talk about that in a second. Let's break down the other side of this one from last night. Kansas, Michigan, classic, classic, classic. We've had other great games in the tournament, and we'll talk about Florida Gulf Coast next against Florida. But, you know, we've had other great games in earlier rounds. This is the first game in the tournament this year to go in overtime. And the first overtime game in the Sweet 16 that I can remember in a while, you know, I didn't look it up or whatever, but it's the first one I remember in quite a bit. But, you know, to have nothing, zero at the half, and to score 23 in the second half in overtime, Trey Burke, like you said earlier to our caller, Nick, you know, if the voting wasn't already in, he would have iced it. And kudos to Michigan and the big guy, right, McGeary. I mean, this kid is coming out of nowhere because they were starting Morgan most of the season. And then they go to McGeary, and he's just, like, killing it. I got to give the coach,
Michigan,
Beeline. He's brought five teams to the tournament, Ray. Five different teams.
Like you have that other show, you know, Hard to Guard. Michigan, if Mitch McGeary can play, and then you can bring Jordan Morgan off the bench, giving you some size, that Michigan team is hard to guard. Stauskas on the wing, along with Robinson and Hardaway Jr. and Trey Burke, the Naismith Player of the Year, we think. Doesn't turn the ball over. Kansas was able, actually, quote unquote, able to turn him over four times. But he had 23-10. I mean, this guy is a high IQ guy, but also can beat you as a scorer and can beat you as a classic setup point guard. So remember, we talked about this before. He's a pleasure to watch. Trey Burke is a pleasure to watch. Aaron Kraft also, we'll talk a little bit about that too. Totally different styles, but how fun was it in the Big Ten to watch those two guards, you know, do their thing? And Keith Appling also. But these two are pretty phenomenal guards in college. And you might just be looking at the player of the year playing, you know, the game of the tournament so far.
Yeah. And I don't feel bad for Kansas because, you know, we both picked Michigan, and I don't like Kansas, although I needed Kansas and Michigan State to get to the chip and Kansas to win it, to win, like, a big, huge bracket pool. But that didn't happen, so that's okay. But, you know, McLemore, who probably played his last game in college, probably going straight to the pros, scores 20 points, sort of redeems himself and having a couple of bad games in the tournament. Kansas just, they made too many mistakes. They had the game. They had it without, I mean, without question, they had the game.
They're killing themselves.
And
South
has
got to
be.
They got the production they needed. They had all five of their starters in double figures. Ben McLemore had 20, although it was kind of a quiet 20, right? Because I think he was scoreless for the last 5.5, 6 minutes of the game. So when they needed,
I didn't even notice him on the court.
Game, yeah,
it was all Elijah Johnson. And in the very last minutes, it was Elijah Johnson doing a lot of stuff. And, you know, McLemore, I don't know. I think he's got to be more aggressive. Let's just say that. He's got to be more aggressive. But you know what? Let's keep it moving.
Two stats. Yeah, let's keep it moving. Let me just give you two stats.
Florida, Kansas, Gulf Coast. And they'll, the winner, you know, plays Michigan. Well, Florida did it. They won. Now, Florida Gulf Coast started off hot. They were smacking them. Twitter was going crazy. They were up 15-4. Like, they're alley-ooping. It was on, baby. I was like, go ahead, Gulf Coast. And then reality set in. Murphy, Wubikin, all the guys. Rosario played great off the bench. Led the team in scoring. It was Donovan and the wave of talent, and Florida, they took it to him. But, you know, kudos
well,
to Florida, Florida Gulf Coast.
Two keys to that game were obviously the run that they had in the first half, right, when they came back and what was like the 20-2 run that Florida had. And just turnovers.
Yeah, 16-2. 16-2 run to end the half.
16-2. And Florida Gulf Coast had 20 turnovers, and their point guard, Brett Comer, who was playing so well up until now, had 9 turnovers.
That's
you can't
much.
Win against a Florida team. Similarly, Louisville, because they turn turnovers into offense, and they pressure you, and it's just so demoralizing. And so he goes, Brett Comer goes 4.9 turnovers. So he did have his 7 assists, but he had 9 turnovers. So they got to him. They said, let's shake this team up. Let's turn them over. And 20 turnovers in a college game is a lot. You're not going to win if you turn it over 20 times. But that's Florida. That's what we said. On their best day, if Florida's playing their best, they are one of the two or three, you know, almost unbeatable teams.
Definitely. So let's take it back to Thursday's games, man. Let's start with the big one, Syracuse. That zone, and they dropped the number one seed in that region, Indiana, Big East. I remember I said it on the show on Wednesday. I said, this is one where I think Syracuse picked Indiana, but I thought Syracuse could give them some trouble, and they definitely did. So kudos to them in that zone. Fair, he showed, and even Dickie Vitale tweeted it out, Fair showed that Zeller is not that strong and he's not ready. He's got to stay another year in college, right? He has to.
I told
he's
you that
not ready.
You were on me, but I told you that in game one. When I went to see him live at the Barclays Center, I said, this kid is not player of the year. This kid is not a first-team All-American, and he's certainly not a top-five draft pick. He is a young, talented kid. He needs to stay in college and work on his game because you need to dominate at the college level, and he just doesn't do that. Now, everybody's like, oh, but he's surrounded by a lot of talent, and this, and he is.
True.
And you're disappointed. But
you gotta he's gotta control that game against Syracuse because he's so much bigger. He's gotta, you know, make the right plays in the high post. You know, he could have hit some free throw shots. He dribbles in, gets the charge. Syracuse confused them and outsmarted. I mean, that was a bad coaching game by Crane, and I love Tom Crane as a coach, but Boeheim took him to school. So
What's disappointing even more is that Crane coached against Boeheim's defense twice at Marquette. So it's not like it's the first time he's ever seen that. That game was over at halftime, right?
But a freshman point guard, though, hasn't seen it like that. Yogi has not seen it. And that was the issue about that Indiana team that I felt, and that's why I didn't pick them. That's why I went with Louisville, you know? And I was surprised that you picked them just because of that. I mean, I think at the end of the day, when you've got a freshman point guard, I think it's hard to cut down the nets. It's very rare a freshman point guard cuts down those nets.
But you know what? You know? I thought that he had backcourt help with Yogi. Yogi had backcourt help with Jordan Hulls and Oladipo, who are experienced. And who also, they've run really a three-guard rotation. And so it wasn't as if
he was the only, you know, he had no help. I mean, around him are pretty Watford's a senior, Zeller's a sophomore, you know.
No, no, I know, but I'm just saying in terms of, like, look, when you see the length of Syracuse and when you got to break a zone, you've got to try to penetrate and kick. You've got to use the high post, backdoor cuts. You know, there's certain ways to attack a zone. And Yogi couldn't get him going. Victor, he's like a 2-3, sort of a slasher. He's not a pure, like, you know, guard with a handle to penetrate. And Holes, you know, whatever, he's kind of light. You know, you saw what Trish was doing to him. He's light in the butt. And Trish and the boys, it was just too much, man. It was definitely too much. So let's go over to Marquette.
Yeah.
What did you think about that Marquette game? And,
you
and
know,
just what they did to Shane Larkin in Miami. Now, they said Larkin, all fairness, Reggie Johnson was out. We didn't think it'd be that big of a deal. We were both wrong. I think they missed him. And then Shane Larkin was up, like, to 3 in the morning with, like, the flu or whatever. So he was sick, and it showed. Larkin didn't have a good game. And Marquette. You know, I've been loving, yo, Marquette's been my team all year. I've been loving, I love Marquette. Vanderbilt,
well,
but Wilson was the man. He did the flip Wilson, yo.
Oh, my God, Flip Wilson. That's old school right there.
Yeah, baby.
But Marquette, you know what? I don't know what to say except for nine lives. You know, Buzz Williams' team snuck through the first two rounds, but they put it on them. Look, they held a pretty potent Miami team to 16 points. Now, you could say Reggie Johnson affected them, but 16 points means you just got handled. So similar to the Syracuse game, that game was over at halftime. And Miami and Florida.
Scott couldn't get going.
Great,
nobody could get going for Miami.
They had a great season, but Kenny Kazi, Durant Scott, Shane Larkin. I mean, they all came back in the second half and pumped up their stats. But really, they were shell shocked in the first half. That pressure that Marquette was putting on them. The Golden Eagles, they really gave it to them, and so. You know, good season for Miami and Jim Larrañaga, and he might be developing a program down there. But cool,
oh, definitely.
Win and move on, and, hey, they did it.
But you know what I liked about that game, and this is where I think they really did need Reggie Johnson? They got killed on the offensive glass. Marquette, for every, you know, they're not a great shooting team. For every shot they missed, I mean, if it wasn't Vander Blue or Gardner or Wilson, I mean, everybody was up on the glass. And their guards – their guards rebound probably better than any other guards, except for maybe Syracuse's guards, because this is, you know, Syracuse's guards get their rebounds too. That's why this is going to be a great matchup. So let's go over to Wichita State against LaSalle, man. That one was that was fun. I mean, we both said it. Wichita State, I said athletic enough, and they were just too big. And Ron Baker, my 3-point. Yo, I love this Wichita State team, man. They got a lot of heart. They shocked the world, and they might be able to shock the world today. They just might. What do you think about that game?
You know, the third straight game where it was over at halftime. You know, they were up 38-22. So if you give up 38 on a neutral court at halftime, you know, it turns out that the LaSalle guards are all, you know, fun, athletic players, but Wichita just had too much, you know, between Hall and Armstead and your boy Baker. They just had too much. So it became
Armstead's
a mismatch.
He's a beast.
And the stat of the game was that Wichita State, you know, out-rebounded them 44-23. So you have a 21 rebound advantage. That's where the LaSalle guards, you know, were exposed. The fact that they're small, they're athletic, and they can do some things on the perimeter, but they were just too small. So the Wichita State.
Yeah, well, let's keep it moving. Ohio State, baby. What did you think about that game?
They could have lost this game. They could have lost it.
Ohio but I gotta State, say, man, that shot that your boy hit. Oh gosh, well, I can never remember his name. The other guy, the guard. Not Kraft, but the other kid.
LaQuinton Ross?
That shot that he hit
was fantastic.
Well,
yeah.
That shot was incredible, but Ross played a great game. And it's so funny because Ross is so talented, and people have been wondering, like, well, where's he been all season? So if you have Ross and Kraft, Thompson and Thomas, and they all play ball, Ohio State could cut down the nets, baby. Because Sam Thompson's a player, too.
they
that,
could.
That was
they
a good game. I was impressed. I was definitely impressed.
Thad Mata can recruit, and so you also love the craft. You know, the good thing is they're almost like a pro team in the sense that they kind of have, you know, roles defined. So Kraft is their leader. He's the gritty, hard-nosed leader. Deshaun Thomas is their money in the bank scorer. So he scores his, you know, he's got his 20. And now if they can get LaQuinton Ross off the bench and even a Lenzel Smith Jr. who's been around, you know, the block a couple of times, and Sam Thompson, the sort of young, talented stud, you know, giving you 11 and 8 last game, this team is complete, right? This Ohio State team, because they can defend and because they can close, they're a tough team. So if you're in a tough battle, I like this Ohio State team at the end of games.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. I mean, I just – that game, you kind of felt like, could Ohio State go down? And, you know, they just –
they could
have. Shot.
They could have. And kudos to Arizona. Sean Miller put together a great season, 27-8. You know, could have easily gone to the Elite Eight, could have easily won this game. But second straight game that Ohio State squeaks by. But you know what? Win in advance. It's not about six pretty games. It's about winning six games.
Well, let's keep it moving. Make our predictions. I mean, real quick though, Marty Lyons and Johnson and them, incredible. Solomon Hill, Arizona is incredible, and that program is fine. Nobody needs to worry about Arizona, and the Pac-12 is solid. So let's start with today. Marquette, Syracuse, the first game. I got to go with the Cuse. I got to go with them because I think even Nick said it, you know, somebody kicks your butt, you're not going to let them kick your butt again. And Marquette, they won on their home court. This is neutral, and I think Syracuse is just getting it together at the right time. And I think they know each other, and I think when two teams know each other, it's going to come down probably to the talent, and Syracuse has more talent. I'm going with the Cuse.
I got to agree with that. And I think that Syracuse, if they can get offense from MCW, Michael Carter Williams, to then go along with, you know, Fair and Sutherland on the wings, and if Trish can step up and they can get a little bit of, you know, defense and maybe some offensive rebounding up front, I think Syracuse has too much. I think your boy Devontae Gardner has to play the game of his life, and Vander Blue has to do some things on the perimeter. But, yeah, I like Syracuse in this game. They know each other, so like you said, there's going to be no tricks. It's just going to be who's got the better players and who plays better on this given day. And I like Syracuse.
All right, and then the next game, Ohio State, Wichita State. I mean, listen, it's going to be a battle. Armstead, Baker, all their whole crew. I like Wichita State so much, man. But I just think, like you said, Thompson, Thomas, Kraft, they have their roles. I think Ohio State wins this one. Very close, though, maybe by 5-4 points.
Yeah, Ohio State's dodged a couple of bullets the last couple games, and I think that Wichita State has enough to run, you know, to run with them and maybe even take a lead like they did, you know, at halftime of their previous game. But I think the confidence that Ohio State has and the ability to come back, so I agree with you. I think Ohio State's going to win this game and go to the Final Four. So far, we both agree. We would say Syracuse and Ohio State in the Final Four.
Big East and Big Ten. So now let's go to the early game tomorrow. Listen, tomorrow, oh, my gosh. I mean, a classic Easter games, right? You got Spurs, Heat. You got Florida against Michigan. And then you got Louisville, Duke. So Florida, Michigan, I don't know, man. This is a hard one to pick. I picked Florida. They're my Final Four team. But I got to tell you, if Trey Burke and McGarry do what they do, I think Michigan will win. I'm gonna pick Florida, but I'll stick with Florida just because I like their talent. I'm going to go against my bracket. Who cares, right? This is what it's about. I'm taking Michigan. They're playing the best ball right now. I'm picking Michigan.
You know what? I have the same dilemma you have, and I love Michigan. And if Mitch McGarry can play, then, like we said, they're a complete team. So having said all of that, you know what? I want these teams to play 10 times because I really think it would be 5-5. But they can't, and they're only playing once. So it hurts me, but I think I'm going to go with Florida. I think I'm going to stick with my Florida pick and go with Florida. And all of our Michigan fans out there, I'm sorry. Go blue. You know, I love me some Michigan, but I got to call it like I see it. And I think that the fact that Michigan has, you know, four guys who can really light it up, Florida has five. You know, all four of these guys, Rosario, Boynton, and even six, even Prather off the bench.
Yeah.
I like Wilbekin, Boynton, Murphy and Young, Rosario, Prather. It's a coin flip. And like I said, if they play 10 times, they go 5-5. But let's go with Florida. I think Florida.
Just remember, you haven't had a great game from Hardaway Jr. yet or Soskis, I don't think. Not a great game. And I think that they're going to step up and give you one. That's the only reason why
I'm
going against my own
pick. 220 on
it's
Sunday.
Classic. And then our final game. The granddaddy of them all, the toughest region, the Midwest,
ooh,
Louisville Duke. I'm sticking with my champ, Louisville. But I got to tell you, Duke, and we're about to start our segment, they're no joke, and I got to give them their respect. I just think Louisville, it's, you know, too many waves. I think Siva and Curry and Cook and Smith, they're going to battle each other, Suleiman too. But I think Smith and Siva are too much for Suleiman and Curry. They're going to be too much. I got to go with Louisville.
You might be right.
Very close game.
You might be right. You might be right, but I'm going with Duke. I think that Duke, there's a reason that for most of the year,
look
Duke
at you, man. You're
number
just sticking
one
with your picks.
Five.
You're scared.
But that's how
you're
I feel
sticking
in my
with your
heart.
Picks.
That's how I feel in my heart. Hey, you know, I was 7-8 in my final fours. I just lost Indiana. So my picks are not bad. I like Duke. I think that ultimately that because Louisville can be inconsistent. Look, if Louisville plays their best and Duke plays their best, Louisville wins. But I think that Louisville still, Russ Smith and Peyton Siva can still be inconsistent. So even the 31 from Russ Smith, Peyton Siva had a bad game. So I just think that Duke and Krzyzewski are going to rattle Louisville a little bit into not playing their best game. And now if they can get production from Suleiman and from other sources beyond their big three, I like Duke. In a squeaker, but I like Duke.
Yeah, Louisville's too athletic for Duke. This is where it stops. So, okay, so basically we have, what, we have two differences, and it's on Sunday. So Saturday we agree, Syracuse, Ohio State, and Sunday you've got Florida and Duke, and I'm going to, even though I picked Florida, so I'll just throw that out there, I picked Florida, they're my final four, I'm going to go with a surprise against myself, and I got Michigan and Louisville, and Louisville is my champ, and I'm still alive with Louisville. So listen. We got to send out some apology letters, but our segment, I'm sorry real quick. I'm going to go first real quick. I'm sorry to the team I just went against. I'm sorry, Duke Blue Devils. I owe you an apology. I slept on you. I was going to apologize to Lions in Arizona, but Arizona lost, so I can't really send it to him. But he played ball. I didn't think he'd do what he did against Kraft. But I'm sorry, Duke, because Suleiman – Kelly didn't have a good game, but Suleiman and Curry, they shocked me, and I really thought Michigan State's guards and everybody could handle them. So that's my I'm sorry. Sorry, Duke. I apologize.
My I'm sorry is to the Golden Eagles of Marquette University and Buzz Williams and that team, Anderson, Otule, and Lockett, and, of course, Vander Blue and Cadugan. These guys, I underestimated them. I thought they'd lose in the first round to Davidson. We have this knockout pool. I picked Davidson over them, and they were close to losing in the first round. They were close to losing in the second round, but like a cat with nine lives, they stepped up, represented the Big East, and took down Miami. And even though Reggie Johnson wasn't there, didn't matter. Marquette was winning that game. They jumped all over them. They were up 29-16, held a potent Miami team to 16 points. So I take my hat off to them. You got a chance to go to the Final Four. Go make it happen against Syracuse. I apologize.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, another good show. We'll be back Monday, April 1st, for April Fool's Day, and we'll see how our picks went and everything. And, you know, we'll see how the Rangers do Sunday night. Knicks can keep their streak going, and then you got the Spurs Heat clash. And, hey, Ray and Tay today, talking sports with
Thanks
friends.
For spending
We're out.
Time with friends.
Peace.